Welcome back to the Corporate Escapee Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Trainer. Before I get today's episode, I want to remind you that we have launched the Corporate Escapee Collective. It's a free online community for fellow escapees and for you that are out there on the fence thinking about or wanting to leave corporate but just haven't figured out how to do it yet. You don't have to go through the journey alone. So if you're interested in joining or know someone who would enjoy it, please connect with me via LinkedIn or send me an email at bt@bretttrainer.com. I'd love to hear from you. Bruce, when I tell folks that if someone is paying you to do a job, you have the skills and experience to become a consultant or a fractional or a contract type of employee, and you today are a perfect example of this. Bruce Rolls joins the show today. Bruce is a fractional COO of manufacturing, and we'll get into that and who he works with in a moment. Spent over two decades in corporate and small and mid-sized manufacturing businesses before making the escape. He is also an EOS integrator, and I think that was about it. Bruce, welcome to the podcast. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you covered it.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to have you here because I do think when people think, well, fractional or contract, it's got to be a chief marketing officer or a designer. And no, you're showing that operations and manufacturing is a fractional role. So why don't you share with the audience a little bit about, you know, what you're doing today and the types of companies that you work with?
Yeah, thanks for having me here. I work with primarily small manufacturing companies that are on a growth path and arguably are struggling with that because things are changing rapidly for them, and the challenge is to keep up with that as they go. And I do that as part of either their leadership team or an extension of the leadership team. Sometimes there's somebody in that seat and it's just a bit overwhelming, and they need some extra help with that.
And if you don't mind, well, let's go back to your journey a little bit, because you spent, did I get that right, a couple of decades, you know, on site or within companies running, you know, operations for manufacturing, right?
A couple of decades would be a compliment, I think. It was much longer than that. And my journey had me at both large corporations, you know, those that are 10,000, you know, thousands of people and more, and the mid-sized companies, as well as a few different ones that were the small manufacturing companies. And I've just migrated to those smaller manufacturing companies just because of the entrepreneurism that's alive and well there, and that entrepreneurial spirit and the ability to impact a lot of things very quickly, the ability to turn on a dime and keep going. And as I've launched myself into this arena, that's where the passion is. That's where the fun is, because there's just so much going on there.
You know, every one of our stories is a little bit different. So how did you get to the point, you know, that, hey, I'm on the corporate side of this. Did you think, hey, there's a business on the contract side? What was kind of that tipping point that moved you from corporate into what you're doing today?
It's interesting. I think with a lot of people that are frustrated with the whole corporate life pathway, that I was just really tired of it. And I mean, I couldn't wait to be done. And I'd read an article at one point, this goes back a few years, and it just talked about senior level people and companies stepping out on their own and understanding the ability to really focus on what they're most interested in, control their calendar and even control their income. And I was like, wow, that's very intriguing. I wonder how somebody does that. And then, you know, somebody needs you back at a meeting and away you go and you forget about it. And then I ended up in this space 3 years ago or about 3 years ago where, well, what's next? It was the opportunity to keep, you know, find another W-2 position or explore other things. And in the process of that, I went to a networking meeting of people in transition, and I met somebody who said, yeah, I work in the fractional workspace. And I was like, well, what is that? Got out of that meeting, looked that up, and found out, wait a minute, this is what I was reading about years ago. They just didn't call it fractional. And that intrigued me. So I was sort of interested a long time ago, forgot about it, and all of a sudden it's in front of me again. And as I investigated and understood what it took to move in that direction, it just became more and more intriguing, exciting, and like, why not? And away I went.
Interesting. Yeah, because I think we kind of had similar paths. I was in consulting and like, what's next, right? I had not heard of fractional at that point either, because I was doing consulting. I'm like, well, I can do this on my own, right? I can source deals and, you know, do the delivery work and that type of thing. So the fractional came up later. And yeah, there's like this whole, maybe a movement or communities that are sitting kind of, I would say, below the surface of folks that have been doing this. I mean, some people have been doing it at least for 10 years. But, you know, back to your journey, and I know a lot of people that don't pull the trigger and jump or escape from corporate because they don't know if they're going to find the work, right? Or there's the opportunity and is anybody going to pay them and those types of things. So how did you, once you decide, hey, this is intriguing, I think I can do this, what, you know, kind of what was those action plans that you took? And was the plan ending up the way you thought it was, you know, when you were starting this journey?
Well, it is a couple of things. You know, there's a phrase in EOS about letting go of the vine. And I think I was struggling with that a little bit because it was, yeah, I knew where it looked like where I wanted to go. And yet I was still hanging on to that W-2 world. And people said, well, you know, how can I help you? And I would say, well, I'm looking for this in the W-2 world. I could do some interim work, you know, at a senior level, or I could go do this independent fractional thing. And I networked with a guy once that was in consulting, and he said, you've got to narrow that down. You're just confusing anybody, everybody. They don't know how to help you because you're spread out so far in terms of the things that you can do. And he said, you can't ride two horses at once. And so you got to plant a flag. And he told me, based on the conversation we had, that he said, I would tell you to plant it in that independent space and go in that direction. And when I tightened that message up, then stuff started to come together, and I got my LLC and people started to be able to help. And as I was getting things going and I would have conversations with my daughter, I said, you know, God, I think if I could just get one client, I'll be okay. And I finally got that. And today I sometimes pinch myself and go, is this really all happening in the great ways that it is? And she'll just remind me, she goes, Dad, you said, just get me one. and in a way we went. So, you know, I had to let go of that W-2 world. I wasn't so worried about not being able to find a client. It was more about, when will I find a client? I guess I had enough self-confidence in that. But when I finally let go and said, no, I'm going this direction, then things started to come together, and people really came out of the woodwork, so to speak, with help, sometimes unsolicited help, and it just helped propel me in this direction.
No, I think that's super interesting, and you have some really good points there, because I, you know, talk with folks all the time thinking about it or have started, and right, I can do all these things. I can do this, I can do that, I can do this. And to your point, what did you say? Don't ride two horses at once, or you can't ride two horses. And I mean, that's probably one of the biggest pieces of advice I give to folks is pick a path first. You can always change the path later, but it's so true that when you're networking with folks, they'll remember talking to you, right? But they won't remember what is that one thing you do that, you know, a month from now, they're like, oh man, I've met Bruce. He's a fractional, does X, Y, and Z. But if you would have said, well, I'm looking for the W-2, or I can do fractional or interim, probably would have all blurred together and it wouldn't have stood out. So I think that's, again, one of the big pieces of advice I give to folks is pick a path, pick a lane, pick an offering, get the momentum, and then kind of figure out where you want to go after that, right?
And it was almost, it was worse than that. Not only picking that lane of those that you just identified, but then you start to talking about the world that I work in of operations. And that is such a vast, vast area. And I know others in other disciplines have multiple lanes within their discipline. Then next thing you want to do is you want to tell everybody about everything that you can do within that realm. And so you couple on the the W-2, the interim, the fractional, and then you go, well, and then I can do all these things. People just get a headache. You know, they quit listening. And you got it. So you got to tailor both down, pick the one lane, and then narrow the messaging down in terms of what you're doing that lane. And now people can start to remember that, to your point, and then can start helping you move forward.
Yeah.
So it's a couple of things that have to happen there. Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. And that was one of the things through my journey I figured out too was, and again, it's still evolving, but I think it keeps getting tighter, right? And, you know, I like to work with, you know, CEOs of $10 to $20 million. I call it $2 to $20 million, you know, working with them to on their touch points in growth, right? It's just not sales. It's just not marketing, but kind of make it clear that this is an area and how I'm a little bit different where, and then I can get into that. I've got different programs for different budgets, right? So it could be a fractional, or it could be just a planning or strategy type of session. So I don't confuse people with the offerings anymore. It's, hey, here's the work that I do. Here's the types of companies that fit well with, you know, the work I do. And that's actually helped quite a bit. Because to your point, a lot of it, if you don't get it tight, is the noise. And so I think maybe the one piece of advice coming off of that is find something that is a good lead in, right? That you know is a core problem that you're really good at fixing, that once you get in though, that it could expand into to other areas.
I tell people I don't even use the term fractional anymore. It just, you got people that don't know or aren't quite sure what it is. You got people that think they know what it is and they're wrong. And then you got people that actually do know what it is. And so sometimes that you put that word out there and all of a sudden you're tied up in another conversation that you didn't even want to have. And it's almost a debate about what that is. So to your point, if I'm tracking with you correctly, I just talk about what I can do and let others put the labels on it in regards to what it is. And then the target audience becomes the same as what you're talking about, although I'll expand it to the 2 to probably 30 or 40 million in revenue. I try to get away from the titles and the labels and talk about the services, the things I can do that I can do to help them. And once you've got that one-on-one conversation with that potential client, it's easy to wander around in that realm of, in my case, what operations is about and where do they really need the help at. So you take all that. And if I circle back real quick to this letting go of the vine, once you decide, the other thing you got to get out of your head, I think, is I'm going to go try this. There's no trying. You've got to go after it. Like this is it. There's no other option. All my energy is going into this, because if you go in with that try and that tentative, yeah, good luck. I don't think the chances of success are in your favor.
Really good advice, right? Because even you can test it. And again, maybe the bigger thing is, hey, I can give this 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, right? This is to go. But yeah, you got to go all in. Yet you do. Now, I get if you got a side project or you're doing some consulting work on the side with some folks, but that's still different. I think that can give you the confidence, right? That, hey, yeah, my skills are needed out there. And by the way, your skills, if you're listening to this, your skills are needed out there. But it is a good point. You just can't half-ass it, right? Moving into this and hope to get the results that you want. But interestingly, what I've found on our side, right, the people side of this is there's a bunch of groups. I think you and I both know John Arms and that fractional group. There's also, you know, subgroups for consultants, solo consultants. I'm now getting involved with small service businesses, like one or two people. So I think your point, Bruce, is again well taken. That don't have to put it in a box. You may find where your sweet spot is. You may like one type of work better than the other, but don't. Yeah, what is that old saying? Complexity kills deals. Keep it simple.
I think that is everything you just said is so true. Leave the labels out of it, because people have different definitions of different things. And if you can leave that out of there and just talk about when you've got that potential client in front of you, and what do they think their problems are, and are those things that you can, that you think you can, that you can solve and work with them on. And sometimes you even got to peel that onion back a little bit, because I have run into this where the potential client thinks they know what their problems are, and they don't. That what they are pointing to are the symptoms of their real problems. So sometimes you got to dig a little bit, and then you can figure out, now, is that something that fits me or not? And in the type of engagement they need, is that something I want to do or not? I mean, that's part of being in this lane, is you get to decide what you're going to work on and what you're not going to work on. So if you leave the lanes open, and don't worry about the titles of that with them, your conversation gets to the real issues very quickly. I see too much of people being lumped in the fractional just because they're independent. All of a sudden, everybody's a fractional. I'm like, no. That's not the way that works. And all you're doing is helping confuse some people. So,
but again, I think the more we can get people to think about it, both business and ourselves, as, hey, this is the problems that we solve, or the skills that we have, and there's multiple ways that we can plug into organizations to help them with that. So I think keeping the flexibility, but to your point, keeping it on what you want to do. I mean, that was the whole point of this, right? You get to choose, pick and choose who you work with and the type of work you're doing. Most of the folks that have, you know, left corporate are definitely more in the abundance mindset versus the scarcity, right? That, you know, we don't need, I don't know how many clients you can take on at a time. Like some of the marketing folks can do up to 5. You know, I like my sweet spot around 2 and maybe some project work in there because of some of the other things I've got going on. But, you know, I think we don't need 1,000 customers in order to kind of hit the goals and, you know, the balance that we're looking for. So I think that's the other thing people don't appreciate, is it's not you against I. Rarely, even if there's 3, you know, people doing kind of the same thing, there's room for everybody out here in this space, for sure.
There is. It's a good point about the number of clients, because I learned the hard way. There's not many of us in this space in the operations arena, I've come to find. And so when you're looking at other people that are working independently, you start looking at finance people and marketing folks. And like you said, they tend to carry more clients because of the kinds of engagements that they have and what they're being brought in to do. I got to 3 and I thought I was going to die. And I was like, why am I doing this? And when I noticed that things that were on my want to do list personally had shifted over into the, I have to do them because the calendar was so full, that was my day of reckoning. And then I started to back off, and I figured that what I figured out is, for me, it's 1 and maybe 2 clients, depending on what that number 1 client actually needs. And then we'll see what's left over and if there's enough to put into the effort into another company. Because I think the difference in operations is, I the phrase I use is, the water's always on. Things are always happening. Things are always changing. The shop floor, the production floor, is a very dynamic place. And sometimes, especially in smaller companies, it doesn't take much of a speed bump to change directions. And if you're just not engaged frequently enough with them, you can miss that. And now you're out of sync with the issues that are going on. At least that's what I found in the space that I'm in. So you got to figure out what you're doing. What are the services you're providing? How are you engaging? And what is the discipline that you're in to figure out what that right number is? But the positive thing for me is, yeah, it's 1 to 2. So I don't need like a whole pipeline of potential clients to, where am I going to get the next one that I can see fairly far out on the horizon to know when I'm going to need to, you know, start thinking about adding another client to the mix.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And, you know, the other interesting thing for me during this journey as well has been, yes, money's definitely important, right? We got to pay the bills and drive it, but it's, you kind of touched on it there, man. I don't have the time for 3. I don't want to do 3. So part of what we're building is, when I started thinking about this, I thought it was just an alternative to work, but it's becoming more of a I don't want to say it's a lifestyle, but more of a, you know, a lot. Yeah, I guess it is a life choice, I guess, right? Because we're starting to blend the work in with the what we want to do outside of the work, and it gives us more freedom to do that. But part of it is you kind of have to decide or define, you know, what you want to do with it. I didn't really ask you a question there other than, you know, maybe for you, as you started this journey, you know, are you finding that balance or better balance than when you had that in corporate?
Absolutely. Aside from that learning curve I just described, it is that blend that's coming together of I control my calendar. I control my income to a fair extent, and I control the work that I'm doing. It's not, you know, I took this job at this company and now I'm required to do anything that they want to put on my desk sort of a thing. I get to this, no, I don't want to do this kind of work. Or I do want to do this. And so it's the blend of those. How much of that work do you want to do? Because how much personal time do you want to have to do other things? And then if you're choosing the right kind of work to engage in, you can even choose when you're going to do that work. It doesn't have to be, you know, the 8 to 5 sort of a thing. You could decide you want to do something else during the day because of the work that you're doing with a given client, and work on that in the evenings if you want. So I like your life choice phrase because it's truly the blend of those three things that let you choose the path you're going to go down.
Yeah, and it's funny. I've shared this story a couple times, but you know, my wife looking back a couple years ago, she's like, "Well, man, what was the matter with you when I was still in corporate and everything?" Like I said, it was a good job, family, everybody was doing well, but I think it was just, everything was fine. And I just, for me, didn't have, you know, you mentioned it earlier in the podcast, what's next, right? What am I working towards? I don't want to just go through the motions of this and, you know, moving into this world, it just opened up. And I thought maybe I'd be alone thinking that, but I think we're all, and that's why I think this is not just a fad. I think this is the future, man. I don't think we were meant to be in offices, you know, 8 to 5. And I don't, some of my days were a hell of a lot longer than that, you know, every day of the week, and then fight the commute. It just doesn't make sense. So, I think it more and more people discover, and I guess, and probably more the freedom and the flexibility to be able to do this. I don't think it's going to go back. I'd be shocked if it does.
Yeah, I think it becomes it's a permanent viable lane, probably in a bigger way than it's ever been before. But the thing we got to keep in mind, just like in other things, this kind of a path isn't for everybody. And I've run into enough people that are sort of on the soapbox of come one, come all. This is the new way to the promised land. And you sort of got to be wired for this. There's got to be some things in you that let you succeed in this avenue, just like if you were going to be a plumber that would let you succeed in that avenue, or you're going to be a doctor and let you succeed in that avenue. You got to have, there's some things, I don't want to just say skill set, but a little bit about the way you're wired in order to succeed here. You said earlier, it's like, you know, we need some people in those other positions. Yeah, they're going to be the full-time corporate people or full-time whatever they do, and we need them as well. This is just another path, but it's not necessarily for anyone. And you've got to make those assessments somewhat internally, and maybe in some conversation if you're not sure with some sort of a personal coach or career coach or something. I think. To figure out if this is the avenue for you. I mean, I even met a guy in a networking meeting here a couple of weeks ago, and he was trying to decide if this kind of a path was for him. And he asked me, he goes, "What's your biggest regret?" That was his first question for me. And I'm like, yeah, that's somebody I think who's looking for a way to convince him that this path isn't for him. And when everybody's saying, "Hey, this is the path," I think you just got to decide, what do you want to do? Where's your passion at? What do you like to do? And not look for the thing that says, aha, there it is. That's why this isn't a good path. Incidentally, my question, answer to that guy's question was, my biggest regret? I said, I don't even have a regret. He didn't know what to follow up with after that.
Yeah, that's good. You know what I would tell folks too is that I didn't start it earlier, but I also don't think my time was ready earlier, if that makes sense. It's such a good point because I do tell people, look, if you love your 9-to-5 job and you get the satisfaction and you've got your good life balance and everything works for you, then perfect. You know, stay at it. Then this isn't for you. Because as I tell people, I'm not out to convince you, right? Showing you what's possible. This is what's out here, you know, and maybe what's interesting, you mentioned it's not necessarily a skill set, which I agree with, maybe mindset. And because I think in the old days, if you're an entrepreneur, it has to be a risk taker and, you know, damned to be everything else. I'm going to succeed at all costs. Or no, you're 9-to-5, you take your paycheck, get your 2 weeks vacation, you know, go home, and maybe now you got some remote flexibility built into it. But I think that's where this whole new middle section is. And I also think, you know, the beauty of it is you can carve it and make it as flexible or risk averse as you want it to be, right? As we're starting to learn these different things. But I think it's such a good point that it isn't for everybody. I think, again, you have to make that choice. And, you know, that's kind of what I looked at was, you know, is the balance. What do I want, right? I'm kind of thinking this is, you know, there's a book called, I think, The Second Half, right? And so I'm not planning on retiring. I can't sit around. And so I needed to figure out what I wanted to do next. And then once discovered meaning, like, holy shit, I like getting up in the morning. I like thinking about what work, what am I going to do? What is this client project? It just changed the mindset. So I think you're right. And it'd be interesting some point to figure out, you know, what are those characteristics, right? Or skill sets that you need in order to do it.
Well, and I spend a fair amount of my free time networking with other folks. And a lot of those, at least recently, have seemed to be people that are trying to, you know, decide about this lane. And I'm just black and white on it and pretty honest about things. And I think I end up leaving them with some clear things to think about, as opposed to just, well, do I want to do this or have a full-time job? I kind of dig a little deeper and, you know, I never decide for them if they're the right person or not. They got to decide that, but I try to get them to take a hard look at a few different things to see if this is really the thing that they want to do. The other thing I try to talk to them about is, I get asked frequently, where are you finding your clients? How do you go find your clients? And I said, you know, my focus is on helping other people any way, shape, form that I can. Sometimes it's getting in their face a little bit about some things that they're hemming and hawing about. Sometimes it's just giving them some straight answers, some questions they got, that kind of thing. And I just focus there. And if I believe that if I can help enough people in the right ways, that the help that I need, in this case, clients, somehow that will find me. And that seems to be what's happening, is for the most part, my clients are finding me. I'm not out sort of beating the bushes for them.
Right.
That's a whole different spin on this whole space, because there's so much talk about, yeah, how do I get the clients? How do I get the clients? Where do I find them at? What do I got to do to get them? And I'm like, I don't know if that's the right approach.
I would agree. I mean, I think you got to be intentional, I think, is the word, right, when you're doing it. But I agree with you, man. I think I'm all in on the karma train that says, hey, the more people we help, the more it's going to come back to you, and the more people that know about what you're doing. And this community, the broader community, not just fractionals, I think is very much like looking to help each other. And one of the things that we talked about earlier is, right, I think there's 14 different revenue paths. I had Mike Waller on, who's, you know, helps corporate escapees figure out if franchises them, right? They kind of got a business that's built, it's got some processes built in, you don't have to do it. And I think it just all goes back to, before you do anything, is what do you want? What do you want? Right? Yep. You know, what is going to make you happy with either that's personal in your life or family or relationships? If you would have asked me this 4 years ago, I'm like, that's silly, man. I just, we'll find good work, something I'm happy about. But now it really is about that balance. And, you know, I put people and really challenge them to think about what do you want? And it's not a 5-minute think, right? It's, you need to go around and think about what, you know, that is. And so I think it's a perfect tie back to what you're saying that, hey, it's not for everybody, but if you're in a situation that you just don't like, man, explore the options, I think is the, maybe the, what we're both saying in slightly different ways.
Agreed. If you don't have any clear idea about what it is you want, where you're trying to get to, how do you want to live, those kinds of things, you're going to struggle on any path about whether it's the right one for you or not, and whether you're happy or not, and feel fulfilled and all those sorts of things, I think.
Right. No, I think you're right, because in your corporate journey, man, we just go, we go through the progression, we get promoted, or maybe we lose our job and we find the next job. And, you know, it was way too linear. So anyway, well, Bruce, again, I want to be super respectful of you. I really, really appreciate you taking time and sharing your story, because it's unique and there's options. And I love your honesty about, you know, pros, cons, hey, but if folks out there are listening to this and want to connect with you, what is the best way for them to do so?
I'm on LinkedIn all the time, and that's probably the easiest path to find me, is just look me up on there. I'll have a conversation with virtually anybody that wants to do so. I'm always interested in finding out what other folks are up to and what they're doing and what they're thinking as well. So.
Yeah, as they say, curiosity is a superpower. So, and I think you people that listen to this episode, you know that you will give them honest advice or your honest opinion. So definitely reach out to them if you have questions, because I think the more of these dialogues we have, the better off we're going to be. So Bruce, thanks again for joining us, and have a great rest of your day. And we'll catch up with you in the not too distant future.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Brett.